But what if YouTube released a feature where the people who were tagged as in the video could authenticate that, yes, that was actually me? Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about paying for coffee with your tattoo. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next.
I can think of worse ways to pay for coffee.
That is true. I don't have a tattoo yet, though, so it's kind of expensive to... The onboarding is a little expensive.
Yeah.
So before we get to that, let's talk about a previous episode. On a previous episode, we talked about video or audio being more trustworthy media than text in terms of establishing identity. So if, like, you see a quote on the internet attributed to George W. Bush, it's less trustworthy than seeing a video of George W. Bush saying said quote.
Then, oh, how wrong we were.
It's like technology is happening faster than we can imagine it. Like, so dear listener Kevin Smith sent in a link to a YouTube video of some researchers who put together this, like, facial recognition thing that you basically sit in front of a stock webcam, it maps your facial expressions, and then it pastes them onto a YouTube video in real time.
It's freaky.
It's so weird. And, like, the thing that really blew my mind was, like, latest improvements, latest feature release is that now we can map the inside of the mouth cavity so that as the,
yeah.
It's like, oh, God, so invasive. They're mapping the inside of my mouth cavity.
That's between me and my dentist.
For real. So the outcome of this is that you could have a pretty easily have, like, a video of George W. Bush who's, you know, it's a live, not a live video, but it's a video of him at one time that you then map your facial expressions and, you know, mouth opening and closing. So like, hilarity ensues, right? I mean, like, you have this, have you ever seen those, that thing where they'll take, geez, what's it called? I should have looked this up in advance, but there's this thing where people just do an overdub on top of a video. So, like, they'll take a video and they'll just overdub with words that are absolutely hilarious. So it'll be like a football coach yelling at his team, but it's somebody who's inserted. It's like the Hitler video.
Right. Kind of Mystery Science Theater-ish.
Yeah, totally. So there's this scene in a Nazi movie. I don't even know the movie. Hilariously, I've only seen the spoof videos, which must drive the director crazy, which looks like a really intense movie about, at least the scene is where Hitler is basically at the end in the bunker and his team is telling him that it's over and he's yelling like crazy in German and everybody's just panic stricken and it's subtitled. And so internet meme just puts hilarious subtitles under it, like, you know, about the new Apple Watch or whatever. And then there's another sort of version of that where someone would just have, like, a video of, say, Obama giving a speech and just replace it with voiceover that they create themselves. So obviously it doesn't sound like Obama, but it's still pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Now, what this new technology allows you to do is to do the sort of Obama version, but you can pick the words because as he's delivering his speech, it's like talking head part, you can change the facial expressions that he's making while he's doing it.
You can make it match your dubbed audio or your subtitles.
Right. Which is starting to get not funny. That's starting to get a little scary.
It is. You'd still have to simulate an authentic sounding audio track, mm-hmm. but it's getting creepy and close to it. And I don't know, I guess you could fool a lot of deaf people.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, or certainly somebody with, who didn't speak English one way or another.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm reminded of is, was it Roger Ebert who lost his, he lost his vocal cords to cancer or something like that. He had his vocal cords removed. And it might have been Gene Siskel. I get those guys confused. I can't remember which one it happened to. I'm pretty sure it was Roger Ebert. And there was a, you know, this sort of, somebody came along and said, hey, Roger Ebert, there's so much live audio of you speaking that we think we can put together a voice simulation of you, so that...
Oh, yeah, yeah, because there is a lot of live audio of him speaking.
Right, so sort of a ransom note style audio where he types something and the Roger Ebert voice comes out saying those words picked from a library of past recordings. So you can imagine someone like, say, President Obama or whatever.
Or us with 4 years of podcasts.
Yeah, where somebody picks out a vocabulary of, say, the top 1,000, you know, just does like a sound cloud of every word we've ever said and stitches them together in a way that is really believable. Which
I was going to make a Roger Ebot pun, but...
Oh, man, Roger Ebot. So if you combine that concept, which seems way easier than the face mapping thing, because when you see it, you're gonna be freaked out. You're gonna be like, whoa, it's like W puppet, which arguably is what he was anyway. But ba-doom-tsh. But you could imagine
our liberalism is showing.
Yeah, a little bit. You can imagine someone combining these two concepts. The audio one has got to be way easy, you know, for somebody that has a lot. There's a lot of recorded audio on. It's got to be way easier to do that than the video thing.
Yeah, it takes some work to mix it, to get it to sound just right and fluid and natural, but it seems like it could be done, and probably more easily than editing a bunch of video.
Yes, which becomes crazy scary when you think of, like, how would you... So now all of a sudden, it's like we're back to PGP. It's like, how do you validate that the video and audio that you're watching of the president saying that Mars is invading... You know, is not actually real. Like, where's the validation? How would that not convince people if it made it? Because, you know, CNN would put that up instantaneously without any kind of fact checking. You'd be like, oh, we're being invaded by Martians. Obama said so. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
If it was on Fox News, it would be like, thanks, Obama. Martians are invading. Might as well go for it. So this gun is really thinking about this identity thing. And... Another related technology sort of cropped up on our radar, which again is really strongly based on this identity thing and maybe would be a potential solution or something, like some kind of less geeky, you know, less geeky than PGP solution to identifying that, you know,
that you were you.
Yeah, I'm Obama and I support this message.
It still doesn't feel foolproof to me, but I haven't read as much into it as you have, so go ahead.
Yeah, it's far from foolproof, I'm sure, but the concept is, it's a payment concept, and it boils down to identity. So the concept is, and this was put together, it's called Kung Fu, weirdly, and it's a feature of Alipay, which is a ginormous force of nature in China, if I'm not mistaken, where Alibaba, which is kind of like the Chinese Amazon... It's kind of like a mix of Amazon and eBay.
Yeah.
It is huge, huge, huge. And they have their own payment system, which is kind of like PayPal, if you want to stretch or like get an idea of what it's like. And they released this new feature that allows you to from a user experience standpoint, it's kind of like storing money on your tattoo. So you know how, you know, what a stored value card is? Is that a common term?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like a prepaid Visa gift card or something.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, this is very much, that's what the Starbucks card was when I did that Starbucks thing. Where you go in, you've got this credit card with a magnetic stripe on it. It's a plastic card. It's not a credit card. It's a plastic card with a magnetic stripe on the back. And you go in and you swipe it through a magstripe reader and you can hand the cashier some other payment instrument and to put some money on the card as it's described, as it's said. So you can put money on your Starbucks card. And when you go to another Starbucks, when you swipe that card through there, it says, okay, this card is uniquely identified as 12345, whatever. And it is associated with $100 worth of money that can be spent here.
But as you have proven, that's not necessarily tied to a single person.
Right. And this is weirdly similar to what Alipay just did, which is that they're, I guess, beta testing. I'm not sure how old the video was, but they're beta testing the same concept. But instead of using possession of the plastic card with the mag stripe as your token, if you will, like your proof that you have access to this money, which you could drop or leave on a table or someone could steal, instead of that, you prove who you are by using something that it would be much more difficult to lose, like a tattoo.
Why not just use a fingerprint?
That's one of the options. You could use a unique, like a necklace that you wear that's very unique in some way. You can use a facial expression or a weird gang sign that you know. So there are all these different things that you can do. So the way that it would work is same concept where you go to the cashier, you present the thing. Say it's your tattoo because that's the easiest to imagine.
Okay.
You've got like a sleeve of dragons. They say, okay, let's take a picture of the thing. And they've got image recognition. They basically have photo capture software at the POS, the point of sale. They take a picture of your tattoo and they say, how much money do you want to put on that? You could be like, $50. I'll put $50 on the tattoo. And then you say, okay, now scan my ring, my wedding ring that was handmade and has like this particular inscription, is very unusual looking, one of a kind.
Put $200 on that.
Put $200 on the ring and put another $50 on my belt buckle. And presumably you can add like a pin to each one of these things. So somebody would say, okay, you know, I want to pay with my belt buckle. You know, so when you go to redeem the money, they take a picture of the belt buckle or the ring or the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact thing. It goes into their database and it says how much money was associated with this. And the assumption is made that the person who's presenting the thing that's having its picture taken is authorized to use the money. So this is wild. It could be fingerprint.
This is crazy, yeah.
Could be facial recognition. Like I have on my Android phone allows a variety of unlock mechanisms. You can swipe a pattern. You can type a code. You can take a picture of your face, making a face. So you can make a particular face that unlocks your phone. But like you said before, all of these things are potentially circumventable in a variety of ways. Like, could I present a picture of the tattooed arm?
Could we have identical tattoos?
Right. And, you know, is there, but it is, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about risk of fraud. So you can easily manage the risk of fraud against the convenience by saying that, for example, if somebody uses the $100 on my tattoo, it's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or better yet, the necklace, because the necklace or the ring is much easier to lose than a tattoo.
Right.
So let's say you've got a ring that is relatively unique. You know, it's not totally unique, but it's pretty unusual. And you want to put $50 on that because it's like your emergency $50. And you know, it's very unlikely that you're going to lose the ring. And it's relatively unlikely that someone else is going to have the exact same ring and try and make a purchase with it. See, that's the thing.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. It can't just be like, oh, this, it has to be a unique item. It can't just be like a ring that anybody could go out and buy.
Right. But also other people could have the ring, but how many people are making purchases with it? And what if you do it in combination with the way you're holding your hand when they take the picture? So somebody else could mm-hmm. have the same ring, but not know how you held your hand. So it gets really, probably it would have to play out over time exactly how insecure this is. It's fairly insecure, but if the risk is low, meaning that you only put $50 on there or $10 or whatever, then who really cares? It's like,
right.
It's kind of up to you who assumes the risk.
I'd spend $50. I mean, I'd risk losing $50 to have like this money out there that I didn't have to be carrying anything on me to have access to or that kind of thing. It's just, it's always going to be there. Like maybe if you forgot your wallet, well, it doesn't matter because you're wearing your wedding band kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me, you can imagine when you really start thinking about it, I can imagine a lot of different ways to do that. And the ones that are more likely or more or easier to implement depend greatly on the infrastructure that's already in place. So Starbucks was brilliant with the credit card thing because they went low tech in a way, because they said, we're not going to do NFC or any of that stuff. We'd have to wait for that to proliferate. We're just going to use the existing barcode scanners that we have, and we're going to present a barcode on the screen instead of on a phone. I mean, instead of a plastic card or something.
Which is a great idea.
Right. And it's very low tech it's very sort of straightforward because they were using the existing infrastructure to come up with a new user experience instead mm-hmm. of having to do like what's happening in the US with the EMV cards where they have to roll out all these new terminals all over the place. And it's like, damn, why didn't they just roll out cameras? You know? And then the flexibility would be huge because the back end would just take a picture of whatever, whether it's your credit card or your, you know, existing thing like a barcode
mm-hmm.
or something way more cool that they could implement later in software on the back end to do things like Alipay did.
Right, because if the camera's out there, then they could write the software at any time to do whatever.
Mm-hmm. And so now if you take that a step further and you say, okay, we are sort of proving our identity. It's not 100% proving our identity, but we are indicating that we are authorized to use the money through this recognition, this image recognition software. So to take it back to the beginning, what if that became the way, instead of something like a private key, what if that became the way that people would authenticate whether or not this video of the president speaking to you was actually created by the president?
It's weird because it feels like we're going kind of underground and secret handshakes and
yeah.
Yeah, it has a,
yep.
I don't know why, but it has a sort of old school feel to it.
Yeah, cloak and dagger.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's almost like uploading a video to YouTube. Well, Twitter has this already. You know how they have verified accounts?
Mm-hmm.
So celebrities can get a verified account, which happens out of band somehow. They contact the celebrity, or the celebrity contacts Twitter, and they verify that, yes, the real
this
Donald
is the real person. Yeah.
So you could imagine that sort of thing happening on like a YouTube where there's like an upload and it's verified to actually be from the person who says it is. So like the person in the video kind of authorizes that, yes, that's me in the video.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like tagging a Facebook picture. Like, yeah, that's really me.
Yeah.
Imagine that. So somebody uploads a video. It doesn't have to be, let's just talk president.
Okay.
President is recorded on video and it's uploaded to YouTube and it goes viral for some reason, but the president didn't upload it. And there's a couple of other people in the video, maybe some sort of average citizen type people, and it's shocking or sensational in some way.
Okay.
And everyone's watching the video. It's like, you know, it's getting millions or billions of views, but no one really knows if it's those people, because we all know that technology exists, that it could be spoofed. So we're not sure. And there's already tons of these like spoof, like fake, you know, fake, ridiculous, basketball shots and stuff like that. So, but what if YouTube released a feature where the people who were tagged as in the video could authenticate that, yes, that was actually me, using a tattoo that only they have access to?
Right.
Obama's dolphin on his ankle or whatever.
Right. Or what if like YouTube analyzes the video and they're like, oh, Obama didn't do that thing. We'll flag this that it might not be him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the video is basically unverified. Like, you know, it's pre-snoped.
He didn't scratch his nose and wink. It might not be.
Right. The gang sign. His like secret sign.
Yeah.
Like a baseball ump, a coach. That is super. That's actually plausible. I feel like that's plausible, where YouTube contacts celebrities and says, you know, imagine that spoofed celebrity videos became rampant and YouTube was reaching out to celebrities to say, okay, let's set up an out of band verification where if a video of you goes up, we will
notify.
We'll notify, or if it appears, yes, we'll notify you. And then you can sort of deprioritize it in our search results by not authenticating it as you. Or if you do want it to appear in the search results for you, you can authenticate using this secret mechanism. It could be two-factor auth, for crying out loud. It could mm-hmm. be anything.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything new.
Right. And then we will know that, yes, you basically thumbs up, yes, that's me in the video. Man, that will obviously happen.
It seems like it's already doable.
Oh, I think what hasn't happened yet is the problem hasn't become rampant.
Yeah. So Google hasn't gone to the effort to make it a thing.
Right. Yeah. Because there's that thing where like somebody posts of, you know, your head on some naked body or whatever, which happens to me all the time, by the way.
Right.
And
yeah.
So, and there's like no way to go around and tell everybody who saw it that, no, that's not me. But if we reverse it, if we whitelist it instead of blacklist it,
mm-hmm.
and say that you can't believe anything until it's been verified by the subjects in the video or in the picture, and it casts doubt on all of these anonymous uploads.
Right. I mean, it might be real, but if it's not verified, you'll know to take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. So it gets back to that thing where we were talking about people beginning to doubt the internet. It almost might be a good thing if there's a verification mechanism so that everybody doubts everything, as they probably should already.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this sort of, you could imagine web browsers devoted to only showing verified content.
Yeah, you could. That's a little weird. That's crazy to think about. The farther down this rabbit hole we get, the less I'm trusting anything.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go back to transferring secure files by, you know, sticking them on a jump drive and putting them in my pocket and walking over to the other guy.
I know. It's like, it boils down to risk. Like how,
yeah.
What level of risk is there? But, you know, plenty of people are transmitting pretty sensitive things. I mean, even your banking, I mean, if you do any online banking, I know I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You pay all your bills online.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's like my hospital has my medical records online that I can log in and get to. And as far as I can recall, they never asked me for permission to do this. I'm sure they have all kinds of HIPAA guidelines and compliance laws and things they have to abide by. But I don't remember ever signing anything that said, yeah, you can store my medical records online that are in a way that's publicly accessible over the internet. Well, I mean, you have to log in, not like general public. You can't all just go look up my health records, but.
Yeah. It's like available, you know, it's like a safety deposit box is really automatically constrained by proximity that only a small subset of human beings are even near it to potentially gain access to it. But as soon as something's connected to the internet, the whole world is a potential hacker.
Yeah. Like I can log in and look at like blood test results and that sort of thing.
Wild.
And the bills too, of course.
Of course. Yeah, that's my favorite part. I don't have any online medical stuff that I'm aware of. Well, no, that's not true. We just switched over our health insurance to the Obamacare solution. This is a very political episode.
It is a very political episode.
I guess it kind of makes sense because it's all about identity. It's like weird. It's like how do you prove it's you online?
Yeah.
And when you know, in real life, it's things like government issued documents like a driver's license or a passport. That there's no parallel for that online because there's no central body. It's almost like Facebook is the closest thing right now.
Right. We're going to have to wait until we get our virtual reality headsets that have their built-in retina scanners.
That'll be good. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
That means it's time to go to karate.
Mm.
So we should probably wrap it up there in that thought-provoking cliffhanger note. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye. You can say bye too.
Oh, bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. If you don't have two friends, just impersonate Obama and give us a nice review in iTunes. Thanks. Ever.